Hey, why don't we go ahead and go on the record? Are you ready? Are you okay? No problem. Okay, we're on the record. Good morning, everyone. This is the time and place for hearings in docket number 15-057-04 in the matter of the pass-through application of Questar Gas Company for an adjustment in rates and charges for natural gas service in Utah, and docket number 15-057-05 in the matter of the application of Questar Gas Company to amortize the conservation enabling tariff balancing account. Oh, you gotta hear me. Okay, let me put a little closer. Did you catch all that? Okay. My name is Jordan White. I'll be acting as a presiding officer for these hearings. And just to let folks know, we are streaming this morning. With that, why don't we go ahead and start by taking appearances. I'll start over here with Mr. Jetter.
Thank you, Your Honor. Justin Jetter, representing the Utah Division of Public Utilities, and with me is Division Witness Douglas Wheelwright. Thank
you. Rex Olson, representing the Office of Consumer Services, and with me is Dan Martinez, if the Commission, if you wish to ask him questions.
Okay, great. Okay, we'll address that with the time.
I'm Jennifer Nelson Clark. I represent Questar Gas Company in this matter. I have brought with me Austin Summers, who will be providing testimony for the company in the pass-through docket, and Kelly Mendenhall, who will be providing testimony in the CET docket. Additionally, we have with us Barry McKay and Brady Rasmussen from Wexpro Company, who will be available to answer questions should the need arise.
Okay, great. Before we proceed, are there any other housekeeping matters? I know we've addressed a few things off the record in terms of tariff sheets, but is there anything else that we should chat about before we proceed? Okay, with that, Ms. Clark, this is a Questar's application, so I'll let you proceed first.
Mr. Summers, would you please state your full name and business address for the record?
Yes, my name is Austin Summers, and my business address is 333 South State Street, Salt Lake City, Utah.
What position do you hold with Questar Gas Company?
I'm the Supervisor of Regulatory Affairs.
I apologize. Maybe we should back up, and I apologize. My failure to swear in, Mr. Summers. Why don't we go ahead and do that?
Thank you.
No problem. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Summers, those questions I asked a moment ago, do you adopt those as your sworn testimony today?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Mr. Summers, were the application and accompanying exhibits in docket 15-057-04 prepared by you or under your supervision?
Yes, they were.
And would you adopt, let me ask you this. Have you reviewed the division's memorandum submitted in that same docket, and do you agree with the recommendations set forth in that memo?
Yes, I've reviewed it, and I do agree with the recommendations in it. The division mentioned that during the technical conference, an error was discovered in the company's model regarding the gathering rate for Wexpro 2 volumes. When the model is corrected, it results in a slight increase to the decrease in the company's original application. Just to be clear, the change results in a larger decrease than what had been proposed in the original application. The division's memo included the updated model and accompanying tariff sheets that reflect the correct rates.
With the division's corrections, would you summarize the company's request in this docket?
Yes. In pass-through docket number 15-057-04, Questar Gas Company respectfully asks the Utah Public Service Commission for approval of $564,205,037 in Utah gas cost coverage. This represents a net decrease of $61,887,000. The components of the decrease are, first, a decrease of $85,722,000 in commodity costs, and second, an increase of $23,836,000 in supplier non-gas or SNG costs. Included in this request is an amortization of the commodity portion of the actual March 2015 under-collected 191 account balance of $6,953,471 by a 6.294 cents per dekatherm debit surcharge. The company is also requesting an amortization of under-collected SNG costs. The combination of relatively fixed SNG costs and abnormally warm weather caused the SNG balance to be under-collected by $15,358,114, which leads to the debit amortization surcharges. We used the average of forecasted gas prices from two agencies, namely Pyra Energy Group and Cambridge Energy Research Associates, to develop the cost of purchased gas. If this application is approved, a typical Utah GS customer using 80 decatherms per year would see a decrease of $44.59, or a total annual decrease of about 6.04%. Therefore, we request the decrease proposed in commodity rates and the increase proposed in SNG rates, as adjusted in the division's memo, be allowed to go into effect on June 1st, 2015.
Mr. Summers, you indicated earlier in your testimony that the division has submitted updated tariff sheets with the corrections referenced. Is that correct?
Yes.
Does the company agree and stipulate that those should represent the final tariff sheets in this matter?
Yes.
And with the corrections set forth in the division's memo and the application, would you adopt the documents contained and the statements made in the application as your testimony today?
Yes.
The company would move for the admission of the application and accompanying exhibits, and would also anticipate that the, and I guess I'll wait for the division to offer them, that the division's exhibits will also be offered.
Any objection?
No, there's no objection. And since they're being discussed now, we can move at this time to admit the exhibits that were referenced by Mr. Summers from the division.
Is there any objection to those proceedings?
No objection.
I do. Rex Olson.
Mr. Olson. Do we need to, and I'm happy to go off the record for a second, but do we need to specifically identify, are there specific sheets within that, or is it just the, in total, the I mean, can we identify with some level of specificity the actual sheets?
Yes.
Or
Mr. Summers, if you would please turn to the division's memo, would you please identify the exhibits that we're discussing now that to which the company will stipulate?
Yeah, so the way that the division filed these is they filed tariff sheets, and then they also filed the model that had been corrected that includes all of the exhibits. So the tariff sheets that are being
and we can go off the record for a minute if you want, unless you're prepared just to. I mean, do you need a minute or?
That might be good. If we
okay,
just want to
record
just a minute.
For a minute and just take the time and just because what I mean we're just housekeeping right now, but I mean we're off now. If you just want to, I mean, because ultimately we just need to know what we're gonna, you know, actually.
Yeah, and that's what I'm not sure of is what they were titled.
Sure. You guys can if you want to if you want to chat or whatever.
And I'm showing up on my phone.
You're fine.
Excuse me. 0.3.
you know, kind of get closer to the microphone and so our court reporter can accurately. I know I'm guilty of that many times. So anyway, I think we're ready to go back on the record. So let's do that. Ms. Clark?
Thank you. Mr. Summers, would you please identify by page the tariff sheets to which the company will stipulate?
Yes. The division has updated the following tariff sheets, and these were provided in both legislative and final form in their memo. So the first one is tariff sheet 2.02, which is the GS rate schedule. 2.03, which is the FS rate schedule. 2.04, which is the natural gas vehicle rate, or NGV. Section 4.02, which is the IS rate schedule. And like I said, those were all provided in both legislative and final format. Additionally, the division filed with their memo an updated tariff sheet that combines this docket with the CET docket. And they have provided an update of tariff sheet 2.02, which is again the GS rate schedule, and that one is combined with both dockets.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Mr. Jetter, do you have any?
No questions from the division, thank you.
And Mr. Olson?
No questions from the office, thank you.
I may have a question or two. I think we'll just leave you sworn in if that's okay, sure. And maybe circle back with you. Let's see how many. Okay. Mr. Jetter.
Thank you, Your Honor. The division would like to swear in its witness, Douglas Wheelwright.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Would you please state your name and occupation for the record?
My name is Douglas D. Wheelwright. I'm a technical consultant with the Division of Public Utilities.
Thank you. And in the course of your occupation as a technical consultant, have you had the opportunity to review the filing in this docket for the Questar's pass-through application and all of the exhibits and attachments to that?
Yes, I have.
And did you prepare comments from the Division of Public Utilities filed on May 21st, 2015?
Yes, I did.
And did you also prepare the attachments accompanying that set of comments?
Yes, the company provided the corrected exhibits, and they were filed with my memo.
Okay, thank you. And just to, I guess, get this out of the way first, were you in the room here today during the testimony a few minutes ago from Austin Summers? Company witness?
Yes, it was.
And do you agree with the company, and does the division agree that the tariff sheets that were accompanying the division's comments reflecting the updated 2.02 GS rate, 2.03 FS rate, 2.04 NGV rate, 4.02 IS rate, as well as the combined tariff sheet for this docket and the CET docket, do those accurately reflect rates that the division proposes will be the effective rates? That
yes, they do.
Okay, thank you. Have you prepared a brief statement regarding this docket?
Yes, I have.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. As mentioned by the company, during a review of this docket, an error was found in the calculation model, which carried through to the filed exhibits and tariff sheets. The company provided an updated and corrected model and the corresponding corrected exhibits and tariff sheets, which were included with the division memo. Any reference to the calculated values refers to these corrected exhibits. In docket number 1505704, known as the 191 pass-through application, it asked for commission approval for an $85.7 million decrease in the commodity component and a $24 million increase in the supplier non-gas component of the natural gas rates for a net decrease of $61.7 million. The requested reduction in the commodity cost is due to a reduction in the forward price curve for the 12-month test period ending May 31st, 2016. It is anticipated that approximately 56% of the total gas requirement will be satisfied from Wexpro cost of service gas production. While the market price for gas has decreased, the price per decatherm for cost of service gas from Wexpro has increased from the previous filing. As part of its audit and review of the 191 account, the division is reviewing the calculations and costs associated with the Wexpro production in the current and in previous 191 filings. The audit process is ongoing, and any findings will be presented to the Commission. If this docket is approved individually, a typical GS customer will realize a decrease in their annual bill of $44.59. The division recommends that the proposed rate be approved on an interim basis until a full audit of the 191 account can be completed. And that concludes my summary.
Thank you.
With that, I'd like to move for, I believe we had discussed just a moment ago or entered into the record the exhibits to Mr. Wheelwright's comments filed by the division, but I'd like to also enter into the record the actual comments themselves. I'm not sure if that was covered earlier, if there's no objection to that.
Is there any objection?
No objection.
Okay, they're received. Thank you.
thank you. I have no further questions for Mr. Wheelwright. He's available for cross-examination.
Is there any questions?
I have no questions.
No questions, Your Honor.
Okay. I may have a couple also, so I'll just leave you sworn in if that's okay. With that, why don't I go ahead and I'll turn to Mr. Olson for the office.
Thank you. I'd like you if you'd swear in, Mr. Martinez.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Martinez, could you state your full name for the record?
I am Danny A.C. Martinez, and I am a utility analyst with the Office of Consumer Services.
In the course of your employment with the Office of Consumer Services, did you have an opportunity to review the filings in this docket?
Yes.
And you had an opportunity, as you were here, to listen to the testimony of Mr. Summers and Mr. Wheelwright. Is that correct?
Yes.
And is it the office? What is it? Does the office support the testimony of Mr. Summers and Mr. Wheelwright regarding interim rates in this pending an audit in this matter?
Yes.
Do you have anything further you'd like to say?
Sure. The office reviewed the company's application in dockets 130-5704 and 15-05705. The office also participated in the technical conference noticed in these dockets. During the technical conference, as stated, a calculation error was identified and that was carried through the model. Since these errors have been corrected and reported as discussed in the DPU's comments, the office did not see the need to file additional comments as these errors were corrected with the updated model and tariff sheets as admitted. The office recommends that the commission approve the requested rate changes on an interim basis. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Martinez is available for cross-examination.
Is there any questions for Mr. Martinez?
No, thank you.
No questions from the division. Thank you.
Okay. Just a couple of questions. I'll start with Mr. Wheelwright, and obviously I may be asking the other witnesses to further questions, you know, based upon, I guess, his responses. But I think you just touched on this in your testimony, the concept, and we talked about this in one of the more recent pass-through cases, I think back in October of last year, about the concept of, you know, prudence review occurs ultimately during the audit process, et cetera. And so this is the prudence review is actually not occurring during the pass-through case. So in terms of the audit, do you have like a potential kind of estimated time frame for when for the audit on this case?
I don't have a specific date. The audit is being completed by others within the office.
Okay.
And I don't have a delivery date for you.
Okay. Let me turn to Mr. Summers with Questar, and this is one again. I mean, feel free if you want to, if Mr. McKay, you know, wants to be sworn in, but I just wanted to touch for a moment on, you know, the question of, you know, what the company is, I guess, doing to ensure that it's only paying Wexpro for reasonable and necessary operating expenses under the Wexpro agreement. And certainly, if you want to, you want to.
I would like to invite Mr. McKay to table and have him sworn in. He can address that question.
Okay, perfect.
For you.
That's great. Thank you. I thought he might want to address that. Why don't you, thank you. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. McKay, would you please state your name and your title at Questar before you commence answering questions?
Yes, I'm Barry L. McKay, and I'm Vice President of the Regulatory Affairs and Energy Efficiency for Questar Gas. And in relation to the specific question, we actually have been meeting with the Wexpro on a proactive basis in helping us to identify the actual costs that are being billed to us on a monthly basis through the Wexpro operator service fee. We're coming to better understand, as well as the division, and I just want to compliment them. I think they're in the middle of an audit, and when you say audit, we have several pass-through cases that are opened. And so a lot of the discovery and the analysis that they're doing is applicable to all of them in general, and then they obviously will have specific things too. But we're making sure that what we're being billed is in compliance with what the Wexpro Operator Service Fee says that it should be. We're also beginning to receive, and Wexpro has been very forthright in helping us be able to get information that in the past we haven't specifically asked for, but we're asking for now, and that is breaking those costs out by cost component. For example, like G&A, LO&E, which is operating and maintenance expense, depreciation, the return component, all of those that we're able to see and get a understanding and feel for what those costs are, what are the drivers on those costs. We're very aware that those costs have been on a per unit basis. Been going up. Wexpro is very aware of that also, and we're focused on what can be done to help mitigate those costs, recognizing that as they put forth the effort to make sure that they're complying with stipulations, the opportunity to drill has been reduced, and therefore new or increased, to maintain volumes at a higher level becomes difficult, and maintaining those volumes are a key thing for us to help be able to reduce the per unit cost. And so we're learning those kind of combinations and interactions with that, and we're feeling confident that what's being billed to us and what we're paying for are those that were intended to be under the agreement.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That was helpful. You're welcome to, remain at the bar there. Thank you. Turning now to an issue that was addressed in the division's memo, I think around page 9, and that portion of the memo discusses a couple pieces of litigation, and certainly I want to avoid any kind of confidential issues, so I'm going to be talking more generally about things, but certainly, Ms. Clark, if I'm going anywhere, you know, we will swerve, as it were. The two pieces of litigation are one, the ongoing litigation with QEP regarding disputed gathering costs under agreement. And I understand there's been some resolution of that, I guess, but there's still some potential costs out there. I guess the question, and maybe this is a joint question to the division and potentially the office too, is that with those costs identified, I think it was in the neighborhood of around $15 million or so, if those costs, you know, if ultimately Questar did not prevail and those costs did become an issue, and how would those costs be treated or ultimately processed or evaluated, et cetera, in terms of rates, I guess? And I don't know if that's a question that, and I guess this, let me just add to that, would those be, you know, readily discernible and discreetly identified, et cetera? And I don't know if this is a question who wants to take it first.
May I just clarify the question?
And sure.
I think perhaps Mr. McKay is the proper respondent. I want to be clear that the question you're asking refers to the Rocky Mountain Resources and Robert N. Floyd versus QEP and WEX Pro case. Is that the one you're referring to?
That's the second one I want to talk about. But the first one, I guess, and I apologize if I misstated, I guess I was talking about the litigation.
With QEP Field Services.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
that's
thank
right,
you.
Yeah.
I just needed to understand.
Yeah, no, that's the clarification. Did you catch that?
The question references the QEP Field Service piece of litigation referenced on page 9 of the division's memo.
And I appreciate that clarification, because I will want to, I'm going to have this basically some similar questions with respect to the one in Wyoming, the separate piece.
Okay, yeah. And then the one other question I had for you, I don't believe that matter has yet been resolved, although some partial motions for summary judgment have been granted. But in terms of how the costs would be treated, Mr. McKay can certainly answer that piece.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Thank you for the clarification.
So Mr. Summers is going to know the exact detail. We're going to tag team on this. Mm-hmm. So he's going to take a first shot as it relates to the first case that you're referring to, as far as the dollar amounts and what has been included.
Yeah, so on page 9 of the division's memo, they do discuss that the difference between what QEP has billed us and what we have paid is about $15.3 million. That's the amount that's in dispute. And then the second part of your question, I believe, is what will happen with those costs in the event of when this case is settled.
I apologize for not articulating more clearly. But so, for example, if Questar does not prevail and that amount I'm assuming Questar would seek recovery for that amount that they have essentially been paying a lesser amount under protest, that amount, if that happens, how would that be, I guess, flown through rates or evaluated? Again, this is a question that may be part of the division's and office's answer too, but.
Yeah, so, and Mr. McKay, I'm sure will jump in here if I'm off, but as we've been in this case, we have in this lawsuit, we have been bonding for these amounts.
Do you want to take a second, or why don't we go off the record and?
You don't need to. In fairness to Mr. Summers, I think he was blurring two cases together. So I'll take over here.
Okay,
he's identified the problem. Sorry.
Okay, let's go back on the record then. Sorry about that, Mr. McKay. Sorry.
Yeah, the first case that you're referring to is a case that that WexPro has been litigating up in Wyoming. And
the first case I'm talking about is the disputed $15 million with the QEP. That's the first case, but.
Well, then maybe we should go off the record till I really know what we're doing.
let's go off the record.
Let's get on the same page.
Yeah, if you want me, do you want me to take a second?
We can do this in 30 seconds.
you. Let's go back on the record. Let's see here. I had a question out there regarding a couple pieces of litigation. So I don't know if I want to maybe turn to Ms. Clark or to Mr. McKay to...
I think Mr. McKay is prepared to discuss the accounting treatment should some award be made in the first piece of litigation referenced. I think that's where we were headed.
Okay, yeah, why don't we talk about that one first? That'd be great, Mr. McKay.
And I apologize for my confusion.
No, it's okay.
I appreciate the moment.
No, there's a lot of acronyms, so I get confused myself. No problem.
Of being able to make sure that we're all on the same page.
Sure, no problem.
If I understand your question correctly, it is of this $15 million that we have, and I'll use a non-accounting term, short paid. If that were to be found that we need to pay that in the future, that would be billed. We would recognize that as an actual cost, and that would flow through our 191 account, which would in turn be before this commission in another pass-through proceeding, seeking recovery of it.
Now, would those, you know, again, this is hypothetical, but if that were the case, would that be, I guess, identified in the total costs in the 191 account in other words, would parties know that was being included and be able to vet it or et cetera?
Yeah, this would be a gathering cost. That's what we're identified here, and we could make sure that it is noted, it's recognized as an amount, because it certainly would be different than what the normal rate would be, which is what you see in the application at this time.
Okay. So just like anything else, I guess, and this is for Mr. Wilwright, it'd be like any other cost in this account, it would be part of the audit process, or it would be included initially for interim rates, but it would be like any other costs, part of the division's audit.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Great. That's helpful. The second one. Yeah. The same question. I mean, the division in their memo. I think the reference was, additional royalty payments from this case could potentially be expected recovered from Questar Gas Company. So essentially the same question, which is, how will we know when or how? Or
sure. That case is in the process of appeal right now in the state of Wyoming. And that $14.1 million that's been identified by the division is the total amount. We have, to date, had billed to us, Questar Gas, from Wexpro, $8 million of that. So if, in fact, that it worst-case scenario, there would only be, as we just described in response to the other question, there would be an incremental $6 million that would come through. We can make sure to have that be able to be identified and be able to be audited and reviewed at that time according to whatever the orders and requirements are that would be imposed upon us in that case.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything the division wanted to add or that was?
I've just got a question for Mr. McKay. Okay. Something that we were not clear on at the division is the $8 million, has that been paid now, and is that included in the filing in this docket, or is that an amount that's been billed but unpaid as of yet?
That has been billed to us over time, and I'm going to have to observe that I don't know the period of time in which that has. We can find that out, but it has been coming to us over time through the Wexpro operator service fee, and so that's accumulation over time.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there anything further, questions or anything on I'm satisfied. I wasn't sure if that folks had other questions on that. Okay. Thank you very much. One other issue, just, and this is harkens back to I know we had a technical conference a few weeks ago, and the company address the issue that it sounds like they had a recent change in their algorithm with respect to normal weatherization. I guess the question is, did the division have any comments on that change? is there anything that...
No, it's the division's understanding that with the last general rate case, they did change some of the way they calculated, I believe it was the SNG mm-hmm. rates. And the company's indicated they are going to review that in the future and see if they, if the way they calculated that in the previous rate case needs to be adjusted going forward in the next case.
Okay. And I might have, I apologize. I think that was like his question. I think I've jumped dockets here. Let me say that question. I think that's a CET question. Sorry, I apologize for that. Just to hold that thought for a second. So let's just finish out the pastor docket, which is the 04 docket. In terms of housekeeping, we have the right tariff sheets. Everyone's agreed to them, and we have the recommendation of the Office of Division. So I think we're good with that. Is there anything else that we need to address with respect to the 04 docket before we move on?
Nothing from the company.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. With that, why don't we go ahead and we'll move on to the next docket, which is the 05 docket, which is the CET docket.
The company calls Mr. Kelly Mendenhall and would ask that he be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mr. Mendenhall, could you please state your full name and your business address for the record?
Yes. My name is Kelly Mendenhall, and my business address is 333 South State Street, Salt Lake City, Utah.
And what position do you hold at Questar Gas?
I'm the Director of Regulatory Affairs.
Mr. Mendenhall, was the application in docket number 15-057-05 prepared by you or under your direction?
Yes, it was.
Can you summarize for the hearing officer today the relief the company seeks in that docket?
Sure. In this docket, the application of Questar Gas Company to amortize the Conservation Enabling Tariff Balancing Account, the company proposes to amortize the March 2015 under-collected balance of $2,667,851. This under-collection amounts to a $14 million increase in the amount that is currently being collected through the Conservation Enabling Tariff. This change in the rate will result in a $12.36 or 1.7% annual increase to the typical general service customer's bill. The company is requesting that all of the proposed changes be made effective June 1st, 2015. And when you take the impact of this docket along with the updated corrections in the pass-through docket, docket 15-057-04, the net result is an overall decrease to the typical general service customer of about 4.4% or $32 per year. And that concludes my summary.
Mr. Mendenhall, do you adopt the contents of the application and the exhibits attached to the application as your testimony today?
Yes.
The company would move for the admission of the application and accompanying exhibits.
Any objection?
No objection.
Received.
Thank you. Mr. Mendenhall is available for cross-examination.
Mr. Jetter?
No questions from the division. Thank you.
No questions from the office.
Thank you. I might have a question, which I think you've already had a little bit of foreshadowing. So we'll hold out for now. Mr. Jetter?
Thank you, Your Honor. The division would, I suppose we need to re-swear in Douglas Wheelwright for this.
He's sworn. He's fine. Thank you.
Have you prepared a brief statement regarding the 15-057-05 Conservation Enabling Tariff Pass-Through Docket?
Yes, I have.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. Docket number 15-057-05, known as the Conservation Enabling Tariff, or CET, asks for Commission approval to amortize the March 2015 under-collected balance of $2.7 million and adjust the CET component of the distribution non-gas or DNG rate. The division has reviewed and supports the application and the calculations as submitted by the company. In the previous filing under docket number 14057-23, the company was amortizing an over-collected balance of $11.6 million. The previous amortization created a credit or a reduction in customer rates. Removing the previous credit and amortizing the current under-collected amount results in an increase in the CET rate. If this docket is approved individually, a typical GS customer will realize an increase in their bill of $12.36. In summary, the division supports and recommends approval of the rate changes requested in both dockets, 1505704 and 1505705. The proposed rates should be approved on an interim basis in order to allow additional time for the division to complete an audit of the individual entries in the respective accounts. While both dockets have been presented independently, the division has completed a summary of the combined impact and the change to customer rates. If both dockets are approved, a typical GS customer will see a net decrease of approximately $32.22 per year, or a 4.3% reduction from the rates currently in effect. The division believes that the requested changes are in the public interest and represent just and reasonable rates. That concludes my summary.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have no further questions for Mr. Wheelwright, and he's also available for questions from parties or the presiding officer.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Olson?
We have nothing further to add.
Okay.
Thank you.
And no questions.
No, thank you.
Okay. And so you have no questions, but do you have any? Did you want to put on Mr. Martinez?
We would submit that his statements in support were for both dockets.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. I apologize for my. That's what happens when you write your notes too quick. But I was incorrectly addressing the algorithm change to the weather normalization, which is the more applicable to the CET docket. So I guess the question is, it sounds like, let me back up, does the company or would the company be willing to kind of address that in their next pass-through about what that change means and what potential effect it might have on rates, I guess. Because I mean, when it was introduced in the tech conference, it seemed like it was a new, I guess, methodology potentially.
Right. You said pass through docket.
CET, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yes. We can do is we can talk about the old methodology and then the new methodology and we can compare and contrast.
Okay. All right. One other thing, again, I'm going to go back, and I apologize for doing this, but I'm going to go back to the pass-through docket. This is a question for Mr. Wheelwright I forgot to ask. I just want to, turning to page 2 of your memo, and I think you already indicated that there were some corrections that you made based upon the information you that was discovered during, I guess, the tech conference. On that last paragraph, I just want to make sure, though, if you compare the numbers that are included in that last paragraph when you're talking about the pass-through, those are the correct increases and decreases rather than the top paragraph, which is what the company included in their application. Is that right?
All of my references refer to the corrected numbers.
Okay, perfect. That's
everything in my memo.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. Okay. Back again to the CET. Is there anything else? I know that there's a request for effective dates for June 1st. So
the company has nothing more to add, but it would reiterate those requested dates.
Okay. So I'm assuming that based upon the timing that there'd be a request for a bench ruling on that.
Yes, please.
Okay. Before I take a brief recess, would there be any objection to that or any thoughts on that from anyone else?
The division would support the request for a bench order.
Okay.
As would the office.
Okay, that's great. Why don't I go ahead and go off the record and take a brief recess, and I'll be back in a minute. Thank you.
Thank you.